So how many of you boys and girls have seen the movie A Christmas Story? Have you seen that? How many of you old people have seen it? You need to watch it. It's about Ralphie. Ralphie is 9 years old and Christmas is coming. And you know what he wants for Christmas? A BB gun, not a shotgun. We hadn't gotten that far yet. A BB gun. So he wants a BB gun, and he mentions it to his mama one night at dinner, and you know what she said? You'll shoot your eye out. So then his teacher assigns a paper. She wants the class to write a paper on what they want for Christmas. And so he writes about the BB gun. Well, you know what he got on his paper? A C+. And the teacher wrote on the paper, "You'll shoot your eye out." So then comes the defining moment. He's going to see the big man, Santa Claus. And he's going to tell Santa Claus what he wants. Well, Ralphie's so nervous, he almost forgets it. And at the very end, he blurts out that he wants a BB gun for Christmas. And you know what Santa Claus says? "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." You need to watch that movie. It reminds me of Deanna. We had a girl in our first church named Deanna, and she was a teenager. Do you know that a lot of those kids had never been to the mountains? So we said, Joyce and I said, we're going to take the young people to the mountains to go skiing. Well, wouldn't you want to go? Well, Deanna didn't sign up. And so I said, "Deanna, why haven't you signed up to go skiing?" She says, "My mama will not let me go." And I said, "Why?" She says, "I'll break my leg." So I go to see her mama, and I say, "Estelle, why don't you let this girl go skiing with us?" She said, "She'll break her leg." And I said, "She's not going to break her leg." Her mother said, "You don't know Deanna." She said, "If I let her go with you, you're going to be calling me from the emergency room and she's going to have a broken leg." Well, I talked her into letting Deanna go. You know what happened? It only took 15 minutes on the slope. She broke her leg. We go to the emergency room. Her mother was expecting the call. She actually said, "I'm not going to say I told you." And believe it or not, all of that has to do with our scripture today that Miss Beverly read just a minute ago. Now, who would give Ralphie a BB gun knowing that he's going to shoot his eye out? Who would let Deanna go snow skiing knowing that she's going to break her leg? And who would let a baby play with a bunch of snakes or with lions? Or leopards, or wolf. But do you know, in the Bible, in Isaiah, it tells us that when God gives us His new creation, that you're going to be able to play with any of the wild animals and they're not going to hurt you. That Ralphie can have a BB gun and he's not going to shoot his eye out. That Deanna can go skiing and she's not going to break her leg. And it's talking about the new day and the new creation. And it's in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And that 11th chapter of Isaiah is a wonderful passage. And when Beverly was reading this, I hope you picked up on things like the stump of Jesse. And then immediately following the reading, when we were singing, "Lo, how a rose e'er blooming," did you notice the imagery? How a rose e'er blooming from tender stem hath sprung of Jesse's lineage. And the second stanza, "Isaiah 'twas foretold it." So the images are all here from the stump of Jesse. Well, if you have a stump, it means a tree used to stand. And if you look at the 11th chapter of Isaiah and go back a few verses to the 10th chapter, you're going to read about this powerful, this destructive force that is going through God's people, cutting down the mightiest of the trees. In the last verse of the 10th chapter, he will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. The mightiest trees have fallen. You know what they're talking about? Of course, there's a lot of debate here. Is this talking about when the Assyrians came and conquered the Israelites, the nation of Israel, in 722? Or is this talking about when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed Jerusalem? Because if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a promise that God made. And the promise was to David that his kingdom would last how long? Anybody remember? Okay, I'm glad a few of you did. We'll go back. You want me to preach that sermon again? God made a promise. The promise was to David, your kingdom will last forever. But now the tree has been cut down. The very foundation of their faith and their life was in shambles. But God always keeps His promise. And He promises that one will come who will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might. You know, you can actually go back to the 9th chapter of Isaiah where we find that wonderful promise, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see all of that here in the 11th chapter. It's talking about out of the destruction, out of the devastation, the mightiest trees have fallen, but yet God continues to bring forth new life. From the stump of Jesse, there will be a branch, there will be a shoot. But how does this happen? What can create something like this? And it goes on to talk about this unbelievable kingdom where the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, you'll have a calf and a lion, and who is going to tend to them? Who is going to lead them? A little child. And then it goes on to talk about a toddler and a nursing infant who would put their hand into the very pit of a den of snakes. Sounds a little impossible, doesn't it? But isn't God in the business of making the impossible possible? Do you know how He does this? Well, look at the second verse of the 11th chapter. It's really simple. He does it through the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is power. The Spirit of the Lord is action. The Spirit of the Lord can transform the darkness into light and despair into hope and even death into life. It is the same Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation. The same Spirit that descended upon Jesus at the time of His baptism. The same Spirit that journeyed with Abraham to a foreign country. The same Spirit that gave Moses the courage to walk into the presence of old Pharaoh. That's what my good buddy Cecil the Diesel called him. Old Pharaoh, and say, let my people go. It was the same Spirit that enabled little David to go up and to stand up against mighty Goliath. The same Spirit that restored life to those dry bones in Ezekiel's valley. The same Spirit that inspired Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. And the same Spirit that motivated Paul to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit of God, and it's the promise of the Spirit of God. How can we find joy? How can we find life when it seems like the mighty trees have fallen and there's only destruction and there's only devastation? When every time we turn on the news, there are more reports of terrorism and violence. When we hear about children who are suffering, how can we find hope? It is through the Spirit of the Lord. A couple of years ago, when we were studying this in Bible study, I shared a story with you. Some of you may remember this story. This story is about one of my favorite people I've known in my ministry, dear Miss Bobelle Williford. I was telling Beverly that I was going to talk about a church organist today. I've been privileged throughout my ministry to have a number of dedicated, wonderful, loving, gifted church organists. And do you know, I think Beverly, every single one of those organists, they were on a lifetime appointment. And I know Miss Bobelle was, because she had been the organist for decades, back when I was working at a church in L.A., Lower Alabama. Back in the old days, she was old school when that was really, really old school. She believed in order and formality, and she presided over that organ with a refined and dignified air that complemented our minister, the reserved and stately, venerable Dr. Graham. It was Miss Bobelle, bless her dear heart. She listened to Handel while the congregation was listening to Hank Williams. And she tried, bless her heart, she tried to instill a little culture into that southern flock. Now, she had every reason to be proud, because she presided over one of the few pipe organs, and it was a beautiful pipe organ that existed in South Alabama between Montgomery and Mobile. Now, the organ itself, it was a beautiful, fine instrument installed by one of the great companies up north. And Miss Bobelle pampered it, and she took care of it, but one day, something happened. It was devastating. You know, we have a beautiful pipe organ. The pipes, boys and girls, do you know the pipes are way up there above the choir loft? But see, we can have the most beautiful instrument, but it doesn't work unless air. You have to have air that comes through, that is blown up there by a pump. It is the air that goes through the pipes that produces the beautiful music. Well, one day the pump quit working, and Miss Bobelle contacted the company up north, and they sent a quote on what it would cost to replace it. The deacons were horrified when they saw it. They said, we can't spend that much money. And then one of the deacons said, I bet old Leroy could repair that. Leroy had a machine shop in town. And so they called the good old boys from Leroy's machine shop, and they fixed that pump for a fraction of the cost. Now, I would imagine, Paul, I don't know much about this. That Paul, I don't know much about this, but I would imagine that if you're going to have a pump, it has to meet certain very rigid specifications. I mean, it has to do just the right amount of air and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me tell you, when those boys finished with that pump, that organ was so loud it would have been loud at Westminster Abbey. It was the loudest organ anybody had ever heard. But not only that, every time Miss Bobelle would turn that thing on, the first thing you would hear all this electronic clicking, this click, 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 click. And then you would hear this sound, this whoosh, this whoosh sound as it filled the air that would go into the pipes. Now, Miss Bobelle was a woman of ritual, and part of her regimented routine every Sunday was she would turn off that organ at the beginning of Dr. Graham's sermon, ostensibly so the congregation could hear every word of his sermon. But whenever she turned the switch off, It sounded like somebody releasing air from air brakes in a truck. It went shh. And it had a soothing effect on the congregation. Because they knew that the sermon was about to begin, and Dr. Graham, bless his heart, he was a gifted and a great scholar, but his sermons were delivered in a professorial monotone. And you could see the eyes flutter as the air went out and everybody settled in as Dr. Graham continued on his weekly sermon. Miss Bobel, like most organists, also had the gift of spiritual discernment. She knew when the sermon was almost over. There were times she knew the sermon should be almost over, even if it wasn't. But whenever Miss Bobel thought it was time to bring things to a close, she would flip that switch. You would hear that click, 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 and that shh. And you could look across the congregation and heads would jerk. People would look at their watch and they would pull out the hymnal because they knew the service was about to begin. You know, I look back on that experience and I realize that it took both Dr. Graham and Miss Bobel to make the Word of God complete. Even though his sermons may have put people to sleep, his sermons were grounded in the Word of God and they were powerfully true. And Miss Bobel, bless her dear heart, even though she was eccentric and regimented, she lifted us up to the heavenly places with her glorious music. But the power, the real power, came from the good old boys at Leroy's Machine Shop. Because without the power, without the pump, without the air, there would be no music. Let me tell you what I did one Sunday. It was a Sunday night. Y'all remember when we used to have church on Sunday night? Herb, I remember your testimony about how much you love Sunday nights. So boys and girls, we were having church and we're getting ready to sing the last hymn like we are now. So I talked to Miss Bobel. I said, I want you to do something. I said, you know when you hit that switch and it goes click, 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 click. I said, don't act like you've turned it on, but don't really turn it on. And I'm going to announce the hymn, and I'm going to have everybody to stand up to sing, and you start playing the hymn, but there won't be any air, and there won't be any sound. And when we got to the end of the sermon, I announced the hymn. People kept waiting for the click, click, click. It didn't wake them up. But everybody stood up, I announced the hymn, and Miss Bobel started playing, but there was nothing. It was just silence. And the deacons thought they were going to have to call Leroy again. And the congregation thought poor Miss Bobel lost it. She thinks she's playing, but she's really not. But then I stopped and I said, there's something missing. We have a beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful musical instrument. We have gifted musicians and we have professionals and we have dedicated people. But unless we have the power, we're useless and we're helpless and we're silent. And then Miss Bobel dramatically, with great flair, turned on the switch. There was a click, 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 and all of a sudden, and we sang to the glory of God because now we had the power. And Isaiah's telling us that even though the mightiest have fallen, even though there's nothing left but a stump, that he's going to create new life. He's going to create a new creation that comes out of that. And one day, every child will be able to play in the streets without fear, that they won't have to worry about the wild animals, that Deanna can go skiing and not break her leg, and Ralphie can have a BB gun and not shoot his eye out. Thanks be to God for the power of His Spirit and for the power of His Word.